For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I want to start off by discouraging us from bashing the Israelites in this story from the book of Numbers. To understand and more deeply sympathize with their position, you got to read the whole book of Numbers. It covers their journey through the wilderness. The Israelites have been following God and Moses for quite some time now into the wilderness for a long time, and they have stopped at Mount Hor. There is no promised land. There is little food. There is little water. There is no milk and honey. The Israelites are afraid of dying. They are exhausted. They are hungry and thirsty, and they are suffering. They are ill, and they are angry with God. So angry that they turn from Him, and many stop believing. God's promise to the people He had liberated from lives of slavery was to take them to the promised land, a land where they will be prosperous and free. And they're nowhere near that. So they turn from God and they stop believing. Serpents come among them, and many die as a result of their sin. When punishment comes upon them, they repent and return to their faith. They realize that they have sinned. They confess and come before Moses and plead for him to intervene on their behalf, to ask God for mercy. Moses, the leader of the people, priest, chief priest of the Israelites, prays to God and intercedes on their behalf and is shown by God the way that the people must act in order to be saved. They must look upon an image that is the essence of their sin. They must reflect on that sin actively. The punishment that the people received was so severe that this is what convinced many to go through this difficult task. After turning from God in anger, they must return to God, confess their sin, and then gaze up upon an image that represents the sting of their sin, which is death. They must look upon the pole with the serpent there on it in order to live. What a powerful lesson for the Israelites who sinned in this way. There was no getting around it. There was no getting around their sin. They had to face it in order to get to the promised land. They had to look upon it directly and go through the wilderness. A life of following and believing in God can often feel like a long journey through a wilderness. It can be fearful. It can be exhausting. It can hurt. And it can make you angry. When have you been angry? When have you been afraid or frustrated or bitter? When have you been angry at God? Years ago, I was pastoring someone going through a difficult time. And he opened up about being angry at God. And that there were times when he felt bad about this. I must have replied something like, "It's okay to get mad at God." I hope I did not mislead this person. Imagine the close relationship he had to have with God in order to be angry with him. Because I sensed his relationship and his closeness to God was like God was his friend. And so he was angry at God in a way that we would be angry at a friend who disappoints us or betrays us. This person did not stop believing in God or turn from God. Or as we hear in the book of Numbers, the sin is speak against God. But he did get mad. It's okay to be mad at God. That's a strong emotional connection. And it's very human. Peter got mad at Jesus when he rebuked him. So Jesus, in last Sunday's gospel reading, got a little bit angry too when he came into his father's temple and saw all the illegal money changing going on and the selling of animals and livestock. And he overturned the tables. He made a whip. This is John's version of it. He made a whip. If you're making a whip, you're mad. You're angry about something. You want to make a very important point to these people that were turning the temple into a marketplace. So it's okay. In today's gospel reading from John, Jesus says, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." The Israelites who looked upon the serpent and believed were healed. Jesus said, those who look to him and believe in him will be healed and have eternal life. So when we are afraid and frustrated or confused or angry, look to Christ. Jesus said the Son of Man must be lifted up. And what does Jesus mean by this? Lifted up. If he's making the comparison to the serpent on a pole, does he mean lifted up on the tree? On the cross? Jesus goes on to talk about those who live in the darkness. Now, if you jump just a few verses before today's gospel, you'll know who Jesus is talking to. He's talking to the Pharisee Nicodemus, who comes in to visit Jesus at night, in the dark of night, to learn from Jesus. And Nicodemus says, "Jesus, I know that you are a man of God, a teacher sent by God." So Nicodemus spends his evening sneaking in and learning from Jesus. Jesus continues to talk about those who live in the darkness and in sin and in evil and who do not believe in the name of the Son of God. Those folks will be condemned. And those who do believe in Jesus, Christ will live. We must look to Christ, to Jesus, the Son of God, lifted up for us on the cross. To go back to Peter, the Apostle Peter, he writes in his first letter to the faithful, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness." When we picture the cross, and we imagine Jesus' broken body there. There's a beautiful stained glass window right here that we can look upon. We reflect on our own sin. And this is hard. This is a hard task to do, but we need to face it. This is part of our wilderness journey. To reflect on our own sin. We should also contemplate what Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians. "Out of great love, God has saved us from death and made us alive together. By the grace of God, this wondrous gift, we have been saved." Through Jesus Christ, we all know this verse. This is John 3:16. We could even say it together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." That's God's love for everyone. Everyone who believes in him and looks upon Christ. And there's a second part to that popular verse. And many scholars say and are of the opinion that it's more important than that popular bumper sticker piece. And it goes like this. Jesus said, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So, for those who believe, no condemnation, no more serpents. Look to Jesus Christ, talk to God, pray to God, be mad at God, and love God. Believe in God and have life through Jesus Christ. Amen.